San Francisco Business Times Thought Leadership Podcast, sponsored by BPM LLP, featuring top professionals and providing insight to keep you and your business informed. In this episode, BPM partner and ownership transition specialist Terry Hill is joined by Michael Malter, senior partner at Binder & Malter LLP, who has guided hundreds of clients through sales, restructurings, and bankruptcies. Also joining us, Edward Webb, partner at accounting and advisory firm BPM LLP, who has 30 years of experience in ownership transitions and business exits. Our discussion, how personal circumstances impact rational business decisions.
Michael, Edward, thanks for being here. To set the stage, roughly 10,000 baby boomers reach retirement age each and every day. And as of 2019, it's estimated that 2+ million small businesses were owned by these baby boomers. For what we do, this environment has led to a very few interesting years. And when you combine this demographic trend with the widespread economic impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic, we are bound to see some pretty serious reverberations in the nation's economy. So, Michael, given these circumstances, tell us more about what you're seeing. What is the mental state of the business owners that are coming into your office?
Thank you, Terry. I'm happy to be here today. I got to tell you that, you know, lawyers are referred to as counselors at law. And in regard to what we're talking about, I think the counselor part of counselor at law looms very, very large. I was extremely lucky that way, way, way back when I was in law school, which was before computers and really before automobiles, I graduated in 1980. And at the time I was in law school, Santa Clara University School of Law allowed law students to take counseling courses and get full credit for the counseling courses they took. And the luckiest thing in the world for me was that I took advantage of that. And I think it was an experimental program. I don't think they do that anymore. I wish they did, because in regard to what I see, clients who are contemplating transition of their business are going through tremendous emotional angst. There is so much identification for the individual with their business, with what they've built. You know, people refer to their businesses as their babies, and that's how they see it. And so looking at some discontinuation of that business is emotionally very, very trying. And I think that if for an attorney to not have a discussion to talk about those emotional aspects is just missing the boat, is just failing to fully address the concerns of the client. What we're seeing now, of course, is exacerbated by COVID-19, that people who were wondering about what to do at this stage of their business, at this stage of their careers, are now being thrust into having to make pretty immediate decisions because of how their businesses are impacted by the pandemic. So I'm seeing people who are having to kind of go through a very rushed process of deciding what to do with their business because of these external forces that are upon them.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate the perspective. You know, Edward, it's interesting. The current environment is certainly acting to amplify and accelerate some of these existing forces that we saw because of the cresting wave of baby boomers, and because everyone has experienced the pandemic differently. Some companies are in the early stages of distress. Other companies have actually been the beneficiary, and many are in between. Since the fundamentals of selling a business haven't changed, is the overarching question for business owners, how can I learn to be more effective at selling my business?
Thanks, Terry. It's great to be here. And I think the answer to that question is yes, but there are a couple of levels to it. First, I have to say, when we get called in to meet with a client, the ability to move rapidly to understanding what their business is and to address those business issues is critical, and it relies on the type of conversations that Michael was just describing. You know, these clients have to be in a place where emotionally they have passed through the idea that their baby is going to be sold or their baby is in distress and they may have to liquidate. And before we can really talk about how can I be more effective at selling my business, you have to pass through that. One of the things that I find is that the sellers, the business owners, are the most knowledgeable people about their business. They are cheerleaders. They love them. They're passionate about them. As Michael said, it's their baby. And these folks have to be involved in this process. By the same token, rarely do they come in with the type of interest in running a business or the business acumen that's going to let them maximize the experience. And so it's a process of gaining their confidence and then harnessing business experience and acumen to their passion and their ability to tell their own story, which allows them to sell that business more effectively.
It's a great point. And, you know, as we know, emotions are high. A company in distress is difficult. Some of our clients are getting unsolicited LOIs from the investment community to purchase the business. And many of the small business owners we talk to just don't know how to get out of their business emotionally. These business owners have served as creators and managers, cheerleaders, a boss, of course. And as we've discussed already, the identity for them is really very, very much wrapped up in the business. And for some, getting out seems unthinkable. It certainly feels like a journey. Michael, how does this resonate with you, and where do you take situations like this?
Yeah, I think, Terry, that for these business owners, the starting point really is that they're overwhelmed, that they're flooded with thoughts and emotions and need help sorting them out. I mean, it's an area in which their priest or rabbi is not going to help them figure out, you know, what to do with the next level of their business or what to do to transition with the business. They really initially just need somebody to talk to help sort it all out. And so in the initial discussions, I think it's a process of helping to lay out what the possible paths are, whether continuing the business, whether selling the business, whether liquidating the business. I think it's really important that each of those paths has to be fully explored so that hopefully a most palatable path emerges. But it means an understanding and empathy with the fact that this is a huge decision that these folks are having to make, and really looking at what the respective alternatives are. Once a path is chosen, then I have been fortunate enough to now have worked on many, many cases with Edward Webb on this podcast. And once we have the path, then I can say to the client, okay, now I'm going to have you meet with Edward Webb, who's going to work through with you kind of mechanically what this is all is going to look like. He's going to help you draft the blueprint that we will all be following. I think that's the natural sequence.
And so to follow up on what Michael's saying here, Terry, these folks have been through that emotional ringer. They have come to some type of reconciliation with themselves, probably with a spouse. And Michael has laid out some thoughts about potential paths forward. And, you know, this is where the rational business decisions come in. We have to be able to translate for them the situation that their business is in, the opportunities that we see in the marketplace, and provide them with enough information so that they can make good, you know, measured choices, and that we're for sure we're in a place that we can actually execute on the plans. Because it's in executing the plans that we're able to maximize the outcomes for these owners. Because make no mistake about it, these people have their own personal wealth tied up in these businesses. And at the end of the day, they want to maximize the economic aspect. It is an emotional experience, but the money matters. It certainly matters. And so that's the art of it from where I sit, is taking this individual who recognizes the need for change and turning that into a good outcome.
You know, one of the things, Terry, that Edward and I have observed that's really a recent phenomenon is that once upon a time, if somebody built up a business over years, the assumption was that their kids would go into that business. And I can personally relate to this because I've built up a law firm over 40 years, and neither of my two daughters have any interest in going into law. So the idea that the Binder and Malter law firm would go to future Binders and future Malters is just not there. And it's true of many of the businesses that I see and that Edward and I have worked on together. So it's a different mindset. If my father had built up a big business, he would have assumed that it would get passed to one of his kids. And that is no longer the paradigm. So these decisions then how do you wind up the business, whether it's a law firm or whether it's a shoe store, how do you then wind it up? Because there's not going to be the kind of succession that would have been assumed once upon a time.
And to follow up on that thought, there are a couple of types of buyers out there in the marketplace. And one is the strategic buyer who knows your business. They maybe are a competitor or they're part of your supply chain. They're in your geography and they're able to look at the business and say, I will be able to realize value on that immediately. I can step into it. They understand it. It's a much easier sell. It's a much more comfortable sell. And oftentimes it's economically superior. And then there are the financial buyers, and Terry, you were kind of referring to those earlier. These are PE funds, and these are investors who are looking for a return on their investment dollar. And they will come in and they may or may not know about the business as well, and they may or may not be able to immediately maximize on the investment that they make. But they will always be looking to turn that into future dollars. So for the business owner who used to be able to give the business to his daughter and now can no longer do that, he finds himself confronted with a marketplace that is a bit more confusing. You know, what do I do? You know, if they're not strategic buyers, then that means I have to deal with the PE firms, and those guys are brutal. You know, I'm going to need help with that. It's a very tough situation to be in.
And it goes to the questions about some of the emotional underpinnings of this. You have business owners who've built up a nice little, you know, we'll call it a family business, in that the, you know, it's closely held and with a, you know, a small to medium number of employees, who then are having to deal with much bigger fish in terms of the prospects for the sale of the business. And, you know, I'm thinking about the mom and pop gym owner who I'm dealing with, whose most likely purchaser is going to be some big outfit, perhaps even a national outfit. And so you have this morphing of the business from this, you know, very small little mom and pop business is going to now merge with a much bigger enterprise that, again, has emotional edges to it.
I've got a point I got to make. That has to do with a concept called the entrepreneurial seizure. All right. That's where somebody is really passionate. They have a great idea. They're a musician. They want to have a music store. They know all about music. And those same skills that help them grow that business are not necessarily the same skills they will need to wind down or liquidate or sell that business. Those are a different set of technical skills that most business owners don't have. And the thing I want to encourage people is you need them to maximize an outcome, and you can rent them. Hire professionals. They will help you with this. And it will end up putting money in your pocket.
It is so true. And, you know, the wonderful thing about entrepreneurs is they do so much. I'm recovering myself. And I recall that, you know, working 80 hours never felt so good. However, some of those very qualities that served the entrepreneur so well can become a handicap in this process. And to your point, you know, getting outside help is really the right outcome. And make no mistake, with proper preparation, these events, even at high speed, can be retirement events. These can yield 10, 20, 30 plus million dollars of purchase price enterprise value. So get ready. I hope that this conversation has convinced everyone listening to keep an open mind, certainly get outside help and evaluate some of your own biases when it comes time to looking at how to get out.
I think in regard to getting the outside help, Terry, I just would urge that folks need to be good consumers and understand what a lot of what we've talked about this morning is about the fact that there are many aspects to the decision making here. You've got to feel good about who you're working with. And if you initially meet with a professional and you just don't feel that they are tuned in, then go back and go interview somebody else. But this is a process in which you're going to spend a lot of time with the professional. Be sure it's with somebody who you're comfortable with and who you feel is tuned in to your concerns and your needs.
Amen, Michael.
Thank you for downloading the San Francisco Business Times Thought Leadership Podcast, sponsored by BPM LLP. For more information, visit bpmcpa.com/business-ownership-transition. And for more downloads, visit the San Francisco Business Times Podcast Hub.